The two most difficult things to get straight in life are love and God. More often than not, the mess people make of their lives can be traced back to failure or to stupidity or to meanness in one or other of these areas. The basic biblical Christian conviction is that these two subjects are intricately related. If we want to deal with God the right way, we have to learn to love the right way. If we want to love the right way, we have to deal with God the right way. God and love can't be separate. John's three letters provide wonderfully explicit directions on how this works. Jesus, the Messiah, is the focus. Jesus provides the full and true understanding of God, and Jesus shows us the mature working out of love. In Jesus, God and love are linked accurately, intricately, indissolubly. But there are always people around who don't want to be pinned down to the God Jesus reveals, to the love Jesus reveals. They want to make up their own idea of God, make up their own style of love. John was a pastor to a church or churches disrupted by some of these people. In this letter, we see him reestablishing the original and organic unity of God and love that comes to focus and becomes available to us in Jesus Christ. This letter begins in this way. From the very first day that we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes. We verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that we witnessed what was incredible. This infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we have experienced a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we are obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim, but if we walk in the light, God himself being light, we'll also experience a shared life with one another. As the sacrifice blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, purges all our sins. If we claim that we're free from sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. If we claim that we've never sinned, we're out and out contradicted God, made him a liar. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance. Haven't you ever felt like you were in a crowd of people, a huge crowd of people, or you were in a setting that should be intimate, but you were all alone, couldn't connect, couldn't be honest about what was really inside of you, couldn't reveal the things that were troubling you? See, fellowship is supposed to solve this. And A lot of people are in gatherings and in places, communal places. You know, we do the worship thing on Sunday morning. We even live with people, husbands and wives and, you know, brothers and sisters and, you know, work with people. And there's no connection. There's no real connection. It's just this polite, you know, exchange. Well, fellowship is supposed to be the solution to this problem because, see, once we have fellowship with God, then we're supposed to at least be able to understand where people are and then be able to connect with people or either lovingly encourage or allow them to exist or grow or change, whatever the circumstance might be in that person's life. I want to read something in this is now that was the message that I read from. I love that reading because it's so flat, but it's kind of direct. And this one comes from the New American Standard Bible, and it is a Hebrew and Greek and keyword study Bible. And I like these Bibles because they give you a little, you know, definitions in the back. They give you the, you know, everything you need to really get an understanding of what's being said. You know, a lot of times when I go into this book, you know, there's always a discrepancy. You know. I like the way he said the concept that, you know, sometimes people like to take what God's word says the way they want to take it. And a lot of cults and other things, a lot of lives are messed up because they take it and they do what they want with it. So what we want to do is we always want to make sure that if anybody shared something with us, that we at least understand what the foundation is, not the tradition. If it's tradition, cool. Whatever it is, we want to understand where they connect the original words from. At least that's what I want to do. Because I can move around in the dark on my own. I don't need any help. Now, the way this starts is really interesting because, you know, when I read this, I kind of freaked out because the way he describes things in his first four verses is very personal, very connected, very experiential. You know, it's not as if, you know, he's describing something that, you know, that was passed on to him, that he was told he had to adopt. You know, and so when they speak and when they share about what it is that they are trying to communicate, it's a little bit more believable. You know, this is the way he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld with our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. And it's really interesting how the fellowship begins with the Father. The connection begins with the Word. The fellowship begins not with us doing something together, but it's us or God doing something with us. I mean, that's the way it starts. That's the way it has to always be renewed, re-energized, refocused. That's the only way it can ever be. So if ever a definition of fellowship develops that is not established between him and me, or him and you, then you have to really be thoughtful and careful about what that is. What we have seen, what we have heard, we proclaim to you also, and you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write to you so that your joy may be made complete. Now, that's really interesting. I'm going to go back and look at this word fellowship. But the reason that I did this today was because I wanted to kind of talk about the discipline of what fellowship was. It's not joining a church. It's not joining a community. That's not fellowship. Fellowship, according to what they've shown here in this situation, and according to this definition that I looked up, is a combination of things. It's not just those things. It's a combination of things, is the way I should have said that. When I was reading this definition, I kind of freaked out because I'm like, man, this is too much. But all I wanted to do was just get an idea of how they put these words together. And so I'm going to give you a snapshot of what I got without becoming too heady or getting off the subject. See, the concept that I'm trying to communicate today is that God gives us an example of what it means to understand how to walk in a relationship and exist in a relationship with him. It comes through his Son, Jesus Christ, nobody else. The people that wrote his word, they wrote his word. Now, we don't have to believe that. But we've got to start somewhere if we say we are followers of his. Because if we don't believe what his word says, and if we don't take it apart and get an understanding as a group or as a community that is consistent with what his word is saying, then we have problems, major problems. So with this definition that I came up with, it's really interesting. Let's see. I tried to put little markers in here so I didn't stand up here looking through things. 2842. Here we go. Now just follow me for a second and I'll get off of this real quick. Partnership, that is literal participation or social intercourse or pecuniary benefactions. To communicate, communication, communion, contribute, distribution, fellowship, combination of words all put together mean or give us inference into what this is saying. To share, act of partaking, sharing, because of common interest. Participate in communion fellowship, and it gives scriptures, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Sharing, distribution, metonym for contribution, collection of money on behalf of poor churches. All examples, again, of what fellowship is. Compassion, benevolence, alms, partnership. John's aim is to assure believers that they have eternal life and to exhort them to conduct their lives accordingly. He is interested in both right belief and in pure conduct. A proper understanding of what God's word says, right belief, gives us the proper fuel and directive to live an effective life, pure conduct. When we refer to the discipline of fellowship, we derive it from its meaning. We derive that from its meaning, the word itself, the context from which it was used. Now, it's really interesting because when I hear them say, the thing that I'm giving to you, this thing that I say is eternal, I experienced it. I touched it. I handled it. I, I was there. I saw it. It's not just something that I'm telling you that you have to do or that you should believe in because somebody told me this. No, I saw this. And that's one clue into what and how a fellowship is established or how fellowship is established. One of the things that I was thinking about was the transparency that has to be apparent in this interaction, transparency. See, if I'm living with you, if I'm existing with you, but what really is going on inside of me, you don't know anything about. Or there are aspects of my life that I cannot share with you. There's something wrong with that. See, the way I grab this definition and this piece is that fellowship is not just sharing food or time or houses. It's about sharing what's going on inside. In reflection to God's word. See, I don't care whether or not people are falling, and I don't think God cares because he says it later on. The issue is not that you fall, but that you lie and you say, you're not falling. See, there's a humility that comes in being able to admit, I struggle. I'm stumbling around. I feel insecure. I don't know how to deal with this. And there's a connectedness that happens when people see that vulnerability in you. Because anybody in their right mind knows that they can't keep it together. I mean, truthfully, if you really, really have been through some stuff and you've experienced it, you know it can't be you that's doing it. So he says, this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. You know, as a new Christian, I believe that sin was gone. You know, I gave my life to Christ. I was going to be doing this thing that I'm sin free. You know, and, you know, this stuff wasn't going to come popping back up anymore. You know, or these philosophies that I had and these temptations, they were gone, you know. Now I want to read something to you. And there's two mindsets here. And I wrote this down last night as I was thinking because, you know, I kind of felt like there's two ways of thinking. You know, you can think that this thing is eradicated. It's gone. It ain't going to come back at me no more. But it comes back in a lot of different ways. And usually if it popped up in the first place, that usually is just like a bud or first part of the flower or the plant. The root is down inside of us. So this is what I wrote. I kept discovering new areas of my sin in my life. And it kept me feeling defeated. So what I decided to do, because I felt defeated when I saw my imperfections and that this thing wasn't gone and I wasn't whole, you know, just like that, you know. So I created this mindset that said, it's gone. So I'm hobbling around. It's gone. I'm sick. You know, I'm hurting bad. I'm going through this and that. It's gone. It ain't gone. That symptom that first showed up is gone. That's all. Something more deeper or deeper. Okay, get out of here. I created my own place of safety and my own place of peace. But in that place, there was no rest and there truly was no peace. There was depression. There was self-doubt. There was inadequacy. There was temptation to this and escapism into that and all kind of stuff. You know, because I had created my own peace. I believed my own set of instructions of how I was going to get through this. You know, I just tossed God's word out in a big way. You know, I took the top part of it. But see, one of the things that I do understand is that when God engages us, he engages us so that we can walk with him. Not that he can walk with us, so that we can walk with him. Now, we do ask him to come alongside because this is too rough. But he's there already, but so that we can walk with him, that's important. Because if I'm walking with him, if I am trusting him, it's a heck of a lot less complicated. See, because when I start walking in my own direction and doing my own thing, I start thinking that I'm right. I start thinking that, you know, maybe I should do this. When I follow him, it's a lot easier. It's not just an easy matter of easier. When things start going wrong, it's easier for me to blame him. You know, hey, you put me in this crap. You did this. David, you know, and a lot of people in the Bible, they would go to God and say, God, what the heck are you doing? Remember that thing started here between me and him, or him and me. So I go back to him and I say, hey, what are you doing, man? This is not cool. You know, this relationship is messy. I told them something, they did this with it, and you know, what the heck is going on? Where I should have had fellowship, I found myself all alone. Not connected to anybody. Because what was really going on inside of me, whether it was right or wrong, I couldn't share with people. I didn't trust them. I didn't trust God. I didn't think they trusted me. Or they trusted God. So there's a way to figure that one out too, right? See, but that way is not the right way of looking at things. I was looking at my sin the wrong way. The discovery of my sin is good. The discovery that there's something wrong, that there's something that's been done wrong in fellowship is very good. That's what the Bible says. It says, hey, you know, here it says, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. Now check this out. Because, you know, I was always wondering, you know, how are you going to draw these two pieces together? Because, you know, the concept of there being light and the concept of there being fellowship existed in action. You know, the first action was me choosing to hear truth about this individual who God sent, eternal life. Me choosing to believe that, me choosing to engage with others. That started that relationship between he and I. It's very simple. It's not really complicated. So, you know, but I want to complicate it, but, you know, and I want to make it very elaborate, but it's just that. It's that I chose to believe that now, at times, I want to change that truth. I don't want to receive the things that make me feel uncomfortable and that challenge me in relationships around people. I don't want to receive those things because it's going to be very painful. It's going to upset the card. It's not going to make everybody happy. They're not going to feel good about me. I'm not going to be accepted anymore. So if I'm going to be with these people, maybe I should just throw out that thing about believing what God says is true. To stay here. To stay among people. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness. The word here is walk. It's not stumble. It's not take steps. It's walk. It's kind of like a deliberate word, like you're going somewhere. You're doing this consistently. This is the way you've chosen to receive information, to digest information. I'm walking this way. I'm going to do this. I might say I'm doing that, but I'm walking this way. There's a difference. Because in the other version, it uses the word stumble. And stumble is kind of like, you know, I'm not really making this, I'm tripping, you know. Or, you know, we make mistakes. We trip and fall. We get back up and we readjust ourselves and we go on. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him or with others, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. And I like this NIV version from like 1989. It says, immediately, right? It says, it will cleanse you from your sin immediately. Acknowledging what is not right frees you. It lets that chain off. And that's really significant. Because the only way that I think we're going to ever be able to continue in the journey is to I hope you connect with people that are trying to get through it, that are looking at my word, my tools, my principles, and they're using them to change their lives and grow up and mature. They're not hiding in brokenness or in shame or in rejection. But you've got to acknowledge that thing. That is a really interesting thing that happens for people who don't do that. And the reason I say this is because it's not like, you know, he whoops you or anything. But there is a diminished aspect of life. Diminished part. There's a life, part of life that's diminished. You know, when we can't be straight with each other, when we can't really, really say what we're really, it comes out in funny ways. It just does. It shows up in anger, you know, verbal explosions, you know, withdrawals, you know, little cheap pot shots or, you know, sarcastic little comments all the time. Things that are not direct but that have nothing to do with just being straight with you. Or even letting people know what you really feel. He says, but if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us sins, to cleanse us from all righteousness. Now, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now that's a really interesting statement. Because if he's saying to me that because I'm not acknowledging in a very small area of my life, or that I deem as a small area, that there's something wrong, that there's something that doesn't agree with him. What's the word he uses? He says, if we say we have no sin, there's no rejection of his truth here. We are deceiving ourselves. Now, how do you do that? When I was a junkie, I used to tell myself, because I freebased and because I cooked my own cocaine, I wasn't no crackhead. You know? That's what I should say. I told a dude that this morning. I said, no, man, crack is this other stuff y'all was doing. And he said, no, Tim, crack is a crackhead. You know, because you get caught up the same way we did, you know. You know, I had created my own reality about what I was and what I was doing. And I was enjoying it because it kept me safe. It was my form of truth. I wasn't using the rule of addiction, repetitive destructive cycle, loss of what's the name, this and that. I wasn't using any of those. I was using my rule. It's not mixed with that junk y'all doing. I'm sitting here and I'm freebasing. I'm doing my own. No. Okay. I was looking at my sin the wrong way. The discovery of my sin was good. The discovery that I was out of place mentally, that I had chosen to escape and create my own form of truth and exist in this place. That was good. No matter how many ways it showed up in my life, through my actions and my thought, it didn't matter that it kept showing up. What matters is how I dealt with it. God says, confess. Agree with me that this action, that is out of what I want for you. It might seem minute. It might seem like you've been fighting with this for a long time. It might seem like every door you've knocked on, people have rejected you and said, that's not going to work here. If you really want to fit in, if you really want to grow, then you're just going to have to learn to accept this. It might fit and feel that way, but don't trust that. Go back to what God's word says. If his word says do this, sit down and have an understanding discussion about what that means. And then pray as you move forward. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. You know, we have a lot of messy stuff that comes out in our life. But that's what relationship truly is. There are a lot of little metal scraps from ironing, sharpening iron that end up on the floor. And if you step on those sharps, you cut your feet up pretty bad. So you got to take time and kind of wipe up the mess. Move those things out of the way. Give some time for that stuff to just have been there. But don't drop the issue. Go back to the issue. Because if you don't, then you gloss over a very important part of life. Consider it a joy, my brother, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. See, this is a really interesting statement, and I read it this way because it gives me the best. What it says is that what God has placed inside of you, it may come to the surface or so. This is James. But I paraphrase it like this. Consider the joy, my brother, when you face trials of many kind, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish his work so that the character that God has placed in us, the ability for that character to grow, it can work itself up. And it's only through those difficult times, through those, you know, iron sharpening irons, that interaction with people on a real level. Not the skating away from it. It's easy to jump and move around and never really be held accountable or have any place where somebody's sitting down there telling you, Tim, man, your breath stink. Go brush your teeth. Put some gum in your mouth or go see a dentist or whatever. You need that. We need that. In the end, we find that that helps us. So, I'll read the last part of this and then I'll shut up. Have you ever found that you were in a group of people? Should be intimacy here. should be connection here. It should flow. But there's no connection. Something has stopped up that flow, that connection between people. Fellowship should solve that problem. If we say we have no sin, we truly are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess, maybe this was wrong. I'm not sure what I did here. I am wrong. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned. We make him out to be a liar, and his word truly is not in us. Thank you.